Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. This is the big conversation. This is the great debate, but it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 44208-601-4555. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line. And remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television has to be at zero, or no one will understand either of us, and I'll have to move swiftly on. You can also SMS the show on 4478-00-8066. Or you can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. Now, the generals are back in Egypt. That's my verdict. I want to hear yours. What was portrayed last week as a popular revolution that the army happened to go along with has turned out not to be the case. It is a coup and not a revolution. The army trained 500 officers every year at West Point and other US military academies, and in receipt of the second biggest amount of foreign aid after Israel of any country in the world, is paid by the United States of America. And the US, despite the coup and against their own constitution, have just sent another, I think four, maybe five, F-16 fighter jets to the military junta in Egypt. And that's what we must now describe it as. Egypt is again a military dictatorship. That might not have been what was in the mind of the millions who marched against Morsi and who were rightly angered by a whole series of blunders made by him and the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, some of which I shall adumbrate in a moment. That might not have been the initial feeling of people in the hours after the overthrow of Morsi and his incarceration and the arrest warrants for the leadership of the Muslim Brotherhood, and above all, the murder of more than 50 people at prayer outside the Republican Guard headquarters in Cairo, has changed everything. It has moved some very important Islamic figures. It has moved Dr. Abdel Fattah, who was the candidate I supported in the Egyptian presidential election, a former leader himself of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, but who was expelled by the Brotherhood because he decided to run for president at a time they said they didn't want to run for president, though they then ran two people for president and expelled Abdel Fattah. Abdel Fattah was on the streets demanding the resignation of Morsi, but when the coup became clear, Abdel Fattah jumped that particular ship, as did many other important Islamic forces, including the Salafist An-Nur party, who you'll recall commanded the support of 25% of the parliamentarians elected in Egypt's first democratic elections. Let me be clear about one or two things. I'm no friend of the Muslim Brotherhood anywhere. I'm certainly no friend of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. I think that Morsi has been a disastrous president. I think he made a weak hand much weaker by the way he conducted state affairs, the way he conducted the Egyptian economic collapse, the way he dealt with the ongoing siege of the Palestinian people in Gaza, his constitution, which was passed in a referendum which was voted on by only a third of the Egyptian people, contained many errors within it. His control freakery, in many important respects, drove people farther away from him. He missed the important point that in a country in transition to democracy, you can't say you won 52% of the vote and therefore all of the spoils belong to you. Democracy is a process. It's not an event that takes place once every 4 or 5 years. He didn't apparently realize that you can't govern a country like Egypt in transition from 33 years of dictatorship on any basis other than national unity. A deliberate and systematic and sincere attempt to unite different political forces. And that could have been done, but was not done by Morsi, who wasn't even the Brotherhood's first choice for president. And it shows in the way that he has governed the country. His foreign policy has been disastrous. His insult to Iran when he went to Tehran, and above all, perhaps, his derecognition of the government of Syria, his presiding over the expulsion of Syria from the Arab League, and his call at events that he was present at, his own call for Egyptian fanatics to go and join the Al-Qaeda-led so-called rebellion in Syria, all add up to a pretty disastrous 12 months. So I'm not here praying and aid Mohamed Morsi. No way. But I will never support a military junta in Egypt. I will never support a coup in Egypt. I will never support the murder of scores of peaceful praying demonstrators in Egypt. I will not support the criminalization of an organization that didn't do anything except win the election and has been thrown out of power by the very armed forces that now hunt down the leaders, including the latest warrant for a member of the supreme leadership of the Muslim Brotherhood. So I'm not with the Muslim Brotherhood, but I'm certainly not with the generals, and therefore I'm forced to choose. And I have to choose legitimacy. Where do you stand? We'll be talking too about the situation, unprecedented, facing Press TV, being taken off the air all over the world, satellite after satellite after satellite trying to strike us down. And when asked why they've broken their contract with us, which is going to cost them millions, the satellite companies say they were told to do so by the European Union or by the government of the United States or some other international political agency. But the European Union doesn't have the guts to admit it, indeed, flatly denies it. So somebody is lying. Is it the satellite company that's going to lose millions in compensation to us? Or is it the politician who doesn't want to be exposed as a liar and a hypocrite, threatening war against people in the name of freedom, liberty, freedom of speech? When you publish vicious caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad, it's freedom of speech, nothing we can do about it. But you're ready in a mendacious way, a lying way, to close down Press TV. Well, we've got news for you. This is the 21st century. You can't close us down. Millions are watching us every week online, on their telephones, and now on a new satellite, which we will begin to broadcast from in the next few weeks. So let me know what you think about that too. And Israel has moved its tanks and its soldiers to the front with Israel. So much for the jihadist claim that they are the true Muslim army, that they are the force of the faithful, a pincer movement advancing on an Arab country. And the two parts of the pincer are Al-Qaeda and Israel. You really couldn't make it up. But they're desperate, you see. because Syria is clearly winning the war. Town after town, city after city is having these heart-eating, head-chopping, priest and bishop-murdering fanatics driven out. These are, of course, only my views. They're not the views of anybody else. They're not the views anybody told me to have. They're not the views, still less, that anyone's paying me to have. They are just my views. And if you have different views, your call is even more valuable than any other. And I promise you, you'll go right to the top of the queue. Welcome, as always, now to the listeners at Colourful Radio, which is indeed a very colourful radio station, especially on Thursday nights at this time when they carry comment. Welcome to you all. And remember, if you're listening to us on Colourful Radio, those contact details I gave you are for this show only. Let's take the first of many calls, this one from Derby in England, from Fazia, about Press TV. Fazia, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum, George.
Alaikum salam, Ramadan Kareem.
Ramadan Kareem.
And to all the Muslims watching this evening, Mubarak Ramadan. Go ahead.
I'm just calling about Press TV. I think it's very unfair, or what they're doing, and they're not only infringing the Iranians' right to broadcast, they're infringing on my right to choose what channel to watch.
Exactly.
And it's just that I watch different channels, not only Press TV, but I like some things Press TV do, I don't like some others, but that's my choice.
Yeah.
And at the moment, it seems like I've been told what to do. You know, maybe 1984 is here. I don't know.
1984 had nothing on what we've got now. The system that Snowden revealed about PRISM and the GCHQ participation in it. I mean, George Orwell couldn't have invented that one.
No, even now, when I go online, I'm worried. You know, when I go to Press TV channels, I'm thinking, am I being recorded somewhere?
Don't be worried. Be certain. Be certain. Everything you have ever searched for, looked at online, they have it. Everything. So they might as well put a camera in every room in our house.
So I'm on a list somewhere.
For sure, for sure. But look on it as a badge of honor.
Badge of honor.
Look on it as proof that you are a sincere and independent thinking human being. You're not one of the sheeple who is being led by the sheepdogs down into the pen where they can safely count on you.
Yes, but the thing is, I was sheeply before. I eat and drank everything the BBC, the CNN gave me until I started watching Press TV, RT, other channels.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, Fazia.
Yeah.
There are millions of people like you around the world. Yeah. I've just been in Australia, which is about as far away as you can go.
Yes,
and greetings to my friends there in Australia. 3,000 of whom paid good money in ticket prices to come and hear me talk. And all of them had seen me on Press TV. All of them had seen me on RT and elsewhere. More and more people around the world are getting their news from places that they feel they can trust. And no one in their right mind trusts Fox News or CNN or the BBC or Sky News. No one in their right mind trusts these outfits because they reflect the point of view of the regime that pays them. Whether a person, in the case of Mr. Murdoch, or a government in the case of the state broadcasters in Western countries like the BBC. Fazia, thanks very much for that call. Let me remind you of the number. It's 44208601455. That's 208601455. Let's go to Switzerland, talk to Alale on Egypt. Yes, welcome to the show.
Yes, good evening, Galloway.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, I would like to comment on Egypt.
Yes, go on.
Exactly what happened in Egypt is a military coup d'etat,
mm-hmm.
and it's similar to to what happened in 1953 in Iran,
yep.
The overthrow of Mohammad Mossadegh,
yep.
And Allende.
Although the only difference I'd say, Mossadegh was actually a very good prime minister. Morsi was a very, very bad president, but go on.
Let me finish. And also Allende in 1973 in Chile.
Yeah.
So some people are saying that the Islamists were overthrown. Exactly what has been overthrown is the desire of Egyptian people. They elected a president democratically. So I think this is a local reactionaries and international reactionaries who are united and who do not want a democratic state in Egypt. And that is my comment.
Well, listen to my comment. Morsi got 52% of the vote on a 52% turnout, which means he secured the vote of 27% of the electorate in Egypt. You would have thought that with such a wafer-thin mandate, that Morsi would have conducted presidential affairs with a good deal more humility. But he did not. He acted as if getting 52% of a 52% turnout, in other words, just over a quarter of the votes available from the Egyptian public, was all you needed. He didn't realize that democracy is about more than turning up every 5 years and putting an X on the ballot paper. Nonetheless, as I said at length earlier, the point you make is correct. This is a military coup. Nothing more, nothing less. And just as the overthrow of Allende in 1973, September, I remember it well, was a prelude to a wave of bourgeois and petty bourgeois millions on the streets complaining about Allende, the end result is the same. The tanks move in. The generals sit in the president's chair, either literally or metaphorically. In Chile's case, literally. In Egypt's case, metaphorically. The person actually sitting in the president's chair, whilst the president is under arrest for committing no offense other than being the president who won the election. In the case of Cairo, the person sitting in the president's chair is a judge appointed by the former dictator, Hosni Mubarak. You couldn't make it up. Alale, thank you very much for the call from Switzerland. Remember, we want calls from the listeners to Colorful Radio. You can't see me, which is a pity because I've got quite a nice new jacket on, but you can hear me and you can call me on 208-601-4555. As has Jeff from Lincolnshire, who also wants to talk about Egypt. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say just off the bat quickly, Obama a few days ago posted on Twitter, and I quote, "I wish Muslims across America and around the world a month blessed with the joys of family, peace and understanding."
Indeed.
President Obama, hashtag Ramadan. And I was just thinking, George, that those he's not bombing and droning to death in Pakistan and other places, he's actually force-feeding this Ramadan in Guantanamo Bay.
Indeed.
So
it's breathtaking. It's a breathtaking tweet from a hypocrite of truly gargantuan proportions. Barack Obama may be the biggest hypocrite ever to sit in the White House in Washington. And that's saying something, Jeff, I must say. His tweet wishing Muslims peace and happiness when he is bombing, droning, force-feeding, torturing, rendering, and otherwise usurping in coup d'etat or attempting to destroy in the case of Syria is simply breathtaking. But here's something even more breathtaking. There are Muslims who are cooperating with them. There are Muslims in Pakistan that have nothing to say about American airplanes incinerating their own citizens. There are Muslims in Syria and in the Arab world generally who are happy to take the shilling and the shoulder-fired anti-aircraft, anti-tank missiles from this hypocrite. There are people in the Muslim world that would be prepared to kiss his hand for that which he gives them, even though the blood of Muslims is dripping from him, from head to foot. Jeff, thanks for that opportunity to get that one off my chest. Remember my number, 208-601-4555. Aidan is in London, wants to talk about Egypt. Aidan, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Thanks for having me back.
Welcome.
I'd like to welcome you back to the UK for your successful tour in Australia. It was very good.
Thank you, brother.
I enjoyed all your conversations.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
It was very, it's good. And there's a lot of Muslims down there as well, which is...
Yes, indeed.
I'm hoping they elect
Julian Assange to the Senate in Australia in September. Which will, of course, give him diplomatic immunity and save the British taxpayer $17,000 a week, which is what they're spending, standing outside the Ecuador embassy, keeping him imprisoned there. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, £2,000 of my tax and everybody else's tax every year goes towards the war in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
So if I can give Julian Assange £20 a week, I mean, I'd happily keep him there forever. You know, it's not a problem. But Margaret Thatcher was... And I remember this. I actually got this information at the meeting we had at the Respect Party that you invited us to. I came to that meeting. It was about Margaret Thatcher and how, you know, what she'd done for our country.
Oh yes, yes.
Margaret Thatcher, only 35% of the country voted for her.
Yeah.
And look at what she did to this country. She never, ever got more than 35%.
She got 42 once. She got 42, 39, and then 35. But go on, your point is well made.
Right. And Mohamed Morsi got 51%. As for the Muslim Brotherhood, as for inexperience of government, the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood in Turkey, have both been working at local level since the 1920s. They've been creating schools, collecting rubbish, sweeping the streets, and providing emergency medical care, where Mubarak and the military regimes of both Turkey and Egypt failed to do so. So that was one point. The second point is, when Erdogan came to power in 2002, he took over a bankrupt economy, had no levers of power. When Morsi came to power, he took over a bankrupt ex-military state. But unlike Erdogan, America allowed Turkey to economically flourish because Erdogan kept his mouth shut, even though everybody wanted him out. Morsi didn't. And within a year, Morsi was out and Erdogan is still in power. There is absolutely no difference. What happened in Egypt is what happened in Turkey. In fact, they tried it on. It didn't work. They tried it on in Egypt, and it was out. And I pretty much know why they kicked him out in such a rush as well. Because he was going to open the Rafah crossing. He was going to open it.
Aidan, enough already. Or I'll have to be sick. And I don't want to be sick in front of everyone. He was going to open the Rafah crossing. Hallelujah! The president of the Muslim Brotherhood, the elected president of Egypt, was going to open the Rafah crossing. The Palestinians have been starving to death behind the Rafah crossing for the entire year that Morsi has been president. Morsi collaborated on destroying the tunnels that the Palestinian people were eating through. So please, as we're now on the same side on this military coup on Egypt, don't tempt me. Don't make me feel sick. Not live on television. Mohammed from Wales will be the first caller after the news, because God willing, I'll be back with the second half of comment. We're talking about the coup in Egypt. The generals are back. We're talking about Israel moving its tanks to the Syrian frontier, ready to open a second front for Al-Qaeda. And we're talking about Press TV. Come back soon. Don't miss it. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. My telephone number, I remind you, is 44208-601-4555. You call us, we'll call you back. Establish a clear line. Now, Mohammed's on the line from Wales, on iPhone, on Egypt. Mohammed, welcome to the show.
George, how are you?
By the grace of God, good. Thanks for calling back. Go ahead.
Inshallah. Thank you very much indeed for having me on your show. There are 2 points I'd like to make today. Well, basically, one is about the Egyptian. I think it was all a mess he made, you know, with the Muslim Brotherhood. And he didn't have no policies, actually. All he wanted was a Islamic Saudi-run government, right? But the people don't want all that, you know? And it's terrible what he done. And there are millions of people who came out to march against the way he wanted to run the country. So, I mean, basically what it is, they don't want Saudi type of government in Egypt. That's full stop. The next point is that young man from America, Mr. Snowden. I really praise that young man. When was it a crime to tell the truth?
Yes, to tell the people whose information it was that this information existed. It's a very strange kind of crime.
It is. I mean, there shouldn't be any crime telling the truth. When we were taught in school, or our parents, they all tell us, tell the truth all the time.
Yes.
No, the gentleman is telling the truth what the government is doing.
Yes.
No, all of a sudden, he is the most wanted person in the whole world.
Yes. I hope he's going to be safe, Mohammed. I don't know what's going to happen. It seems to be a very complicated situation, his applications for asylum, and how he actually gets from Moscow to whichever country accepts him. You saw what happened last week when, in an act of international air piracy, the governments of Spain, Portugal, and France all effectively forced to the ground the presidential airplane of Evo Morales, the president of Bolivia, all because they'd been told by the US that Mr. Snowden was inside the presidential plane. Even if he had been, it would have been an act of piracy to bring down a presidential aircraft, which had every right to have anyone on board that it wanted. It's a sovereign aircraft of a sovereign president flying from Russia to Bolivia. But, of course, Mr. Snowden was not on the plane. But the president of a sovereign country was and could have been killed as a result. So what will happen if Mr. Snowden gets on an airplane, say to Cuba, en route to Venezuela, which has generously offered Mr. Snowden protection and asylum? That airplane has to fly over European airspace and potentially even over North American airspace. Will that Russian airliner be forced to the ground with the commensurate risk to hundreds of passengers just so they can get hold of a man who's merely told us the truth? Mohammed, you raise a very good point. Thank you very much indeed for doing so. 208-601-4555. That's my number. Gary from Halifax is on the line, but that tells only half the story, because it's Gary from Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada, in North America, which I always find extraordinary and like to say. He wants to talk about Egypt. Gary, welcome.
Good evening, George.
What do you think of my analysis of Egypt? Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I think I do not disagree with a word that you said about the tragedy of Morsi's opportunity, of how he blew a fantastic opportunity. But, you know, that's, you know what the song, the not the song, the famous phrase in the workers' movement is, don't mourn, organize.
Yeah.
So I think that's also the key thing to keep in mind. Egypt is by no means over.
No.
And this whole U.S. effort is getting more and more and more unstuck. The Snowden affair is another sign of how unstuck it's getting. To take this move at this time with all the chaos going on in Syria, all the plans against Iran, to suddenly leap out and take this jab at Egypt is utter craziness. But we know why they have to do it. One of the least commented facts, situations in this latest coup is there's a region called the Sinai Peninsula. And access to the Sinai Peninsula is mutually permitted for Egyptian troops and Israeli troops under the so-called Camp David agreements back in 1979.
Yeah.
And now we see how the Israelis are maneuvering with the United States to make sure that Egypt, cannot remilitarize the Sinai, cannot put their troops there in the ordinary way that any other sovereign country should and would look after its sovereign territory. And of course, why Israel and the United States want to do this is that the Suez Canal is the chokehold that they would have on Egypt no matter who was in office. So I think that's the other shoe that has yet to drop, but it's a very big boot.
Very good point, as always, from a very big and important viewer in Halifax in Canada. Thanks for that, Gary. 44208-601-4555. Sangwana's called it from Botswana about Egypt. Sangwana, a particular welcome to our viewers in Botswana. Go ahead.
How are you, John?
By the grace of God, good. How the better you? For hearing from you. Go on.
Thank you. How are you, George? Can you hear me, George?
Yes, the whole world's listening. Sangwana, go ahead.
Yes, how are you? Thank you very much to God through with you, George.
Yes.
I want to say something about the Press TV, say that although some other countries are cutting the channel, what I want to say that, George, you are the eyes of the world, the whole world. You are the eyes, you are the ears of the world. Anybody who hates Press TV, he hates the truth, and the truth cannot win anything. I mean, the false cannot win anything. It's only the truth that can win the whole world. George, I want to ask you something. For this Middle East crisis in the Arabic state in Middle East, who is behind this crisis, George? And who is benefit from this crisis?
Well,
I want to ask you.
Well, that's a good question and a very kind words, Sangwana in Botswana. I'm grateful for it. Who is behind it is a very complicated question, but who is benefiting from it is very easy to answer. The Arab masses began an awakening. They began to overthrow the corrupt and rotten dictatorships that had ruled them for so long, for too long, for always in many cases. They had begun to make imperialism extremely nervous, make Israel extremely nervous. The masses were on the move like a tiger. But the United States and the big powers had ambitions, and let's face it, they had the bottle to try to ride that tiger. They have partially succeeded in most places. They have partially succeeded even in Tunisia, where my old friend Sheikh Rashid Ghannouchi is having real difficulty in hanging on to power and influence. They did so successfully in Libya, succeeding and in removing what many people would have said was the worst, most idiotic dictator in Africa, and replacing him with something even worse, which many people would have thought an impossibility. We got rid of Mubarak and we got Morsi instead. Morsi has made a series of disastrous blunders and has now been replaced by something even worse, namely a military dictatorship which owes its training, its money, and its ideology to the United States. Some foolish people on the left in politics in Egypt believed, last week at least, that they were the cause of Morsi's overthrow. They know now that it's the generals that are back. Syed from Ahwaz in Iran on Egypt. Syed, welcome.
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead, Syed.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening to you.
Good
evening. Go ahead.
Happy Ramadan to you.
Thank you. Same to you, brother. Go ahead.
It's an honor to be speaking to you, Mr. Galloway, but I'm afraid I cannot agree with you 100% on the Egyptian matter, especially when it's about coup d'etat. Yeah, I agree with you, it is a coup d'etat, but it had to be done to save Egypt from the turmoil that Mr. Morsi brought up.
Well, there's plenty of turmoil now. There's plenty of turmoil now, Syed. The people are being shot down like dogs in the street while they're praying.
Yeah, I agree with you. But it was all started by the Mr. Morsi himself when he started to bring the sectarian war there and killing Shias and disregarding them. So he was the first who started it. So
well, it may be. That may be true. And I said so in the beginning, that the sectarian language of Morsi, his attack on Syria, his encouragement of fanatic extremists to go and fight in Syria, definitely had, as the reverse side of the coin, the obvious possibility of producing sectarian killing and violence in Egypt itself, if they could find a minority to turn on. Only 1% of the Muslims in Egypt are Shia. 10%, 12% of the population are Christians. And Morsi risked the safety of these religious minorities with the sectarianization of his policy towards Syria. But it's not Morsi that's gunning down the Muslims now. It's the junta. It's the military junta that's gunning down the Muslims now at prayer on the eve of Ramadan, and no doubt each day as we go through Ramadan. The idea there's going to be less turmoil now after the army has overthrown the elected government is fanciful, Syed. I'm sorry. 442-0860-14555. Now, Israel has moved its tanks up to the Syrian border. Of course, they already had four brigades there, and they've moved a fifth to the border, leading to analysts speculating that they're about to open an open and unconcealed military front against Syria, thus producing, as I said at the beginning, the most peculiar pincer movement in all history. Not since the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, the Stalin-Hitler Pact, have there been two more grotesquely unsuited allies in a conflict than that pincer involving Israel and Al-Qaeda. You couldn't make it up, but I'm not making it up. It's actually happening. Leavers on the line on that very subject. He's from Manchester in England. Leaver, welcome as always. Go ahead, sir.
It's always a privilege, George. I hope you have planted many good seeds of thought in Australia.
Thank you.
Just before I go on about the Israeli situation,
yeah,
a bit on the up-to-date information on Snowden from Russia today.
Okay.
That a plane has left Moscow due to go over American airspace, but diverted themselves to avoid this and due to land at midnight in Cuba.
And is Mr. Snowden on board, or don't we know?
Don't know.
Okay, let's hope he lands safely, and let's hope he's on that plane, because he must be getting fed up of the airport in Moscow.
That's right, yeah. Now, I am a Jew, as I've already stated.
Yeah.
I wanted to say, I was once a member of a Zionist, I'm actually not proud about it, of a Zionist church. We prayed and wanted for a Zion world, basically for the better of humanity. This is what we were told. Now, there was two schools of thought. One was the Battle of Armageddon will be fought on a spiritual level to bring about Zion, which I was. I don't believe in bloodshed. And the other, that Armageddon will be fought on a military level between Muslims on one side and Christian Jews on the other. Now, this information and sort of friends from years ago and things like that. Now, I believe that these types of Zionists are manipulating world events, pushing us to World War III situation, as the biblical revelation predicts. Now, I think, as you know, most Zionists are North American white Christians, so they rather look at biblical text rather than the Torah. When in actual fact, this would be a self-fulfilling prophecy if it was manipulated. They are that mad that they actually think that God wants this and is for the greater good of all of us.
Well, let's hope they don't get their hands on power. Oops, they already have. Lever, thanks for that. Charlo is in Norway on holiday in Gambia and wants to talk about Egypt. That's quite a mouthful. Go ahead, Charlo.
Hello, the commander, Mr. Galloway.
Welcome to you. Great to hear from you. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, George. It's a pleasure to hear your voice. You know, really, I do really miss your voice. You know, I'm just here for some months just to relax and enjoy my holiday. And I'm always with you on Press TV.
Enjoy it, brother. Enjoy
anyway,
it.
Yeah, as you said, Mr. Galloway, you know, that word, I never forget it. Remember, we should always remember. And I think Muslims, it's high time for them to remember this word. Let us come together. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. Mr.
Indeed.
Galloway, same to Morsi. You remember when Morsi, before he comes onto power, he promised the Palestinians. He said that Palestinians would really have a way of survival. Their survival will become easier when he become president.
Yeah.
He let them down.
He did.
He let the Palestinians down.
He did.
And of course, I don't support any military coup, but it's really good. It's better mostly to leave. Let him go. We need somebody strong, somebody who is really a good leader, who can really show the sympathy, you know, to the Palestinians and within that Middle East and the Muslim world. Muslims as a whole should learn a lesson. You know, America is not there for them. They should learn a lesson what America did in Vietnam, in Saigon, in Nicaragua, in Panama, you know, and many other countries right now in Afghanistan, Iraq, and they're trying to hunt Iran, you know. It's high time, Mr. Galloway.
Well, look, Charlo, I can't disagree with much of what you say. I just have to make this point, that any country has the right to choose the wrong leader. But what no country can be supported in doing is for army generals, bought and paid for, trained and armed by the United States of America, and now rearmed, just in the last day, with five new F-16 fighter jets being sent to that military junta to make them even more militarily powerful. Against whom are they going to fight with these F-16s? They're not going to fight Israel, that's for sure. Otherwise, America wouldn't be giving them all these hundreds of millions of dollars and all these weapons. These weapons are for fighting against the Egyptian people themselves. Scores of whom they have killed in the last few days. Many more, I predict, they will. Andy is watching online in Vancouver, in Canada, and wants to talk about Egypt. Andy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, George. Yeah, I listened to the discussion going on regarding Morsi, and I have a point of view that Morsi winning the election himself was a surprise to the United States. And they did everything to make him fail and destroy the Muslim Brotherhood, their political future. He didn't have any political experience. He inherited a failing state, collapsing economy, corrupted government institutions. even if he were the most sophisticated politician, his mission was impossible and his administration was destined to fail. He was a president without a constitution, a legislature, a tremendous forces working against him, including the Supreme Constitutional Court, the armed forces, the police, and what I call them the democracy opponent front led by Mohammed al-Baradei. Mohammed al-Baradei, as you know, he is a member of the International Crisis Group, that's a Soros group, and you know it's funded, to used to funnel money to the through the CIA.
Baradei is an American agent, no more and no less, and always has been.
And the point is that the problem with Morsi, he sold out. He sold out to Saudi Arabia and the Qatar, basically implementing the U.S. plan to destroy the Muslim world. There is a plan, you know, when they lost the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, they decided to change their tactics, and they used covert wars against the Muslim world. It showed in different faces. In Egypt, as a matter of fact, Egypt revolutionaries mostly funded by the United States government, even during Mubarak. The revolution in Egypt didn't happen overnight. These rebels and the revolutionaries, and whatever you call them, they are funded by NGOs from the Democratic and the Republican parties.
Well, look, I've got to cut you short, Andy, because I need to get one last call in. But it was a very, very good call, and I hope you won't be a stranger and that you'll call me again, Andy, in Vancouver. But I want the last word to go to Africa, where Egypt is, of course, located. Al Mansour, he's on the line from Nigeria. Go ahead, Al Mansour.
Hello. Hello, Mr. Galawi.
Yes, sir.
I'm pleased to meet with you. This is the first time I'm speaking with you. And may God protect you and give you a long life.
Thank you.
You're one of the protectors of the world. Let me call it that way. It's a pleasure meeting you. I want to speak about Egypt, but the previous caller have said most of my points. But I would like to say few out of what he says. You see, what I understand with the Egypt problem is this. If somebody will just get up and said, Egypt is not a coup, what would you call it? It's a coup. It's a straight ahead coup. Everybody has seen this and everybody understands this. But the most disappointing issue is this. Look at what the United States is doing. The United States is saying they will found the junta. It means they backed the coup.
They have?
What I believe is they feel democracy is not good for any Arab country except what they want us.
Well, look, Al Mansour, let's talk again next week maybe on this. But you're absolutely right. The Palestinian people voted for Hamas and suffered 5 years of siege and starvation at the hands of Israel and Mubarak's Egypt. A siege which was not wholly lifted by the ex-president, Morsi. Tell your friends that Press TV can still be watched by any manner of means. And God willing, I'll be back here next week for more comment.
Hello, if you just comment, your name and location, you left my number. And just make sure that your television volume set up to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You redirect me, put through your phone number, and then we'll be back. Comment.
Can I have your telephone?